I became curious when I read about the phrase forced freedom. I mean, how can a person be forced to be free? Freedom appears to be the absence of restrictions. When you are forcing someone, you are restraining him in different ways. But man must be forced to be free is a quotation by Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the ideological father of the French Revolution, the same revolution which laid the seeds of liberty, equality, and fraternity. So I became curious. I referred to his book, The Social Contract, and the opening lines say that man is born free, yet everywhere he is in chains. And again, it appears oxymoronic. If man has freedom in his nature, how is that he is in chains and in restraints everywhere? If we carefully analyze, there is nothing that can restrain us. Great people have said that it is not the mountains before us which wear us down, it is the pebble in our own shoe. That a boat is not sunk by all the water that surrounds it, but by the water that gets into it. So if we truly analyze, a person can engineer and utilize his capabilities to the extent that nothing bothers him, that nothing deters him. And yet, man is notorious for making his simple life complicated. And somewhere down the line, I believe that it is because man has evolved to a higher creature who can think a lot, who can analyze a lot, who has this tremendous capacity to process huge amounts of multidimensional data per unit time. And when such a brilliant man is kept idle, the idle brain becomes the devil's workshop. Just like if you don't eat, the acid in your stomach will eat itself. Because the stomach is designed to secrete hydrochloric acid and the gastric juice, which will digest the food. So if you don't give it food, it will start digesting the walls of the stomach and result in ulcers. Similarly, the brain of a man is like a sharp blade. If you don't give it material to cut, it will start cutting and harming itself. That is why you find that in societies which are deprived from truly exploiting their talents, are often they become victims of insurgency, they become victims of a lot of protests, they become victims of pretty wild, destructive, random ideas and ideologies. In fact, the birth of a lot of these strange, brilliant, but very destructive ideologies have come from sharp people who did not have material to cut. Their brain did not have good material to cut, and an idle brain became the devil's workshop. So you also have societies in which there is a flood of opportunities. Why do we revere the United States of America? Because there are a flood of opportunities. So that if a brilliant person comes who is not given opportunities in his home country, he becomes successful in the USA. Similarly, in Germany, we have the land of dreams. Why is the land important? Why is a country important? Why is a society important? Because it gives you a platform to utilize the talent that you have. Otherwise, that talent will be used somewhere. It will be used to destroy yourself. And therefore, man is notorious for binding himself in chains. And only a sharp person can bind himself in chains because he has that blade in him. And therefore, when I read about the fact that man should be forced to be free, initially it appears that freedom is something like a narrow winding road within a forest. and that we are riding on that road and we don't have to go left or right or we don't have to take on many roads. Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Sorry, I could not travel both. Being a traveler long I stood. And in another poem he mentions, the woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. So these forests, these glades, these woods are notorious for being so elusive, so distractive, that it's very difficult to maintain the steadiness of your path. You'll go here and there, and that will be the end of it. So freedom in a certain way appears to be that difficult process of keeping yourself on that path, not going anywhere else. And that is the initial understanding. But we don't truly understand what is meant by a man should be forced to be free. Rousseau was mentioning it in the context of the social contract. I'll come to it. But I also heard an interview of Eliud Kipchoge, the famous Kenyan long-distance runner, who had said that only the disciplined ones are truly free in their life. Because if you are indisciplined, you will become a slave to your moods, to your passions, to all distractions. And then again, I heard an interview of Mike Tyson, who went through all the ups and downs in his life and has now become a very wise person. And he was the champion of the world. He went through all that hard work and achieved the greatness that very few achieve. He said that no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, if you are not disciplined, you ain't nothing. Because you will yield to the slightest of suffering, you will yield to the slightest of pain. And therefore, without discipline, you are nothing. That is the importance of discipline. And when I compare that if you are indisciplined, you are not free, with Rousseau's quote that man should be forced to be free, immediately I can correlate and connect that it is discipline, that strenuous effort to keep you on the straight path, which is actually freedom. So freedom is not letting yourself loose. If you become free in the literal sense, no restraints, nothing, in the truest spirit of freedom, you won't be free. You will be bound in chains everywhere. And therefore, I mean, just imagine you must have driven a car. You don't turn the steering wheel. You are on a straight road. There is no traffic. You don't touch the steering wheel. And you think that the car will keep moving in a straight line. Well, that is the ideal case. But there are grains of sand and dust and stones on the way. There is a slope of the road. There are ups and downs. That is the actual life where you have distractions. If you don't touch the steering, your car will slowly go either to the right or to the left. You'll have to keep the steering, keep it modulating. And if you don't touch the steering, or if you hold it loose, one single bump or pothole in the road and your car will turn tipsy-topsy. Therefore, a good hold on the steering, which requires effort, even if you are on a straight line, even if there is no other traffic on the road, is required. Imagine if there is traffic, what will be the case? So there are so many distractions. There are so many things in the world. Your inner boredom, fatigue, procrastination is also there, which is the biggest thing. Nobody will be able to defeat you but you yourself. So how can you let yourself loose? You'll have to, just like the steering wheel, keep yourself tight. Hold yourself. Even if your palms are hurting, you can't let loose of the steering with both hands. You have to hold it with one hand. Then you can give the other hand some rest. But you can't let off both hands. That is required. you have to keep the struggle going on. And so many songs have been written. Maybe it is the only opportunity that I've got. Success is my only mother, failure's not. Remember that song of Eminem? So many songs on hard work, so many songs on discipline. When I see videos of David Goggins, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, all of these great people who have accomplished greatness, but through perseverance. And sportsmen are so popular because their greatness translates into something that we can see, their sports performances. But in every profession, whether it is business, education, sports, research, no matter what, you require discipline. Preparing for an exam requires discipline. And therefore, that effort is required. Rousseau mentioned the social contract, where he said that an individual is in social contract with the state. And for the sake of general will, he compromises on some of his freedoms for the better, for his own good, for his own long-term good. He lets go of some of his freedoms. Now just replace state with yourself. Think that you are in social contract with yourself, that you as a person are in social contract with your rationality, with your rational brain. Your heart might want to sleep. Your moods might want to go out to the mall or go to a restaurant, go partying. Your moods might be different. Your emotions might be swaying. Your heart might tell you something else. But your rational brain is the thing with which you have a social contract. Not a social contract in this sense, but an individual contract. All right? So when the society expects you to be true to the society, we have governments, we have the social contract working in the world in every country. What makes or prevents you, what prevents you from implementing that individual contract? If you can't be true to yourself, you can't be true to anyone else. Even, remember that song, My Way, by Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra as well. Many others have sung. For what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not. So if a person is not in tune, in harmony with himself, if his mind says something else, his heart says, his heart does something else, if he is not integral, that is integrity. I've read many definitions of the word integrity. But in integrity, in the truest sense, I believe, is a person who has this oneness. What he thinks, he believes, he feels, he does. Not within home, but even outside home. Not in professional life, but even in informal life. Not when everyone is seeing him, but even when he is alone, he is that same person. So if you are truly an embodiment of integrity, of discipline, of effort, of maintaining the right direction, simplicity. Man, life is bloody simple. People make it complicated, and human beings are notorious for doing that. Just look at the birds. They wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they sleep at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening. They go, they eat their food, they sing, they enjoy their life. They live a simple life every day. They are not bored. They are happy that they are living a simple life. And I'm not saying you should be absolutely satisfied. Any rational person is dissatisfied. Because if you are in a certain profession, at any state of your life, it is only when you are dissatisfied in the right range that you aspire to go higher. So if you are dissatisfied 30%, 40%, 50% with your present state, present job, all right. More than 50% means you are frustrated. Then it takes away your energy, your freshness to really put in effort for great things. If you are having less than 20% dissatisfaction, for example, that's also bad. That means you are too satisfied. So there's a sweet range of dissatisfaction. For a rational person who is in that sweet range of dissatisfaction, at the same time, you should have a sweet range of satisfaction as well. Not too much, not too little. For the rational person who is in the sweet range of dissatisfaction, he will not be satisfied with his present job. He will aspire for greater things. Because just imagine, everyone has a certain dream. When a person reaches a certain job, he understands the limitations. He understands where the shoe pinches. And that is not what he aspired for since his childhood. And immediately he understands that no, not this, but another thing is what I should aim for. That's how aspirations keep evolving and sharpening. So if you ask any dissatisfied person, he wants to go from point A to a point B. And that requires effort. And very few people are able to go from A to B. Most of the people stay in A. You are in a company, there are 20 employees working in the company, all of them are dissatisfied to certain extents. Out of those 20, maybe only one or two will be able to go to a better company or a better job or a better place and truly live their lives. The remaining 17, 18 people will make half-hearted attempts, but they will stay in that company till retirement. Because it is only those one or two people who have been able to force themselves to be free. Not free in the short term, but free in the long term. Be free in the long term. And you will achieve what few achieve, but what you are truly meant to achieve. I mean, life, you only have one life. You can't keep failing in life, and you can't stay a failure in life and expect that in the next life you will learn from it and you will succeed. No, there is no next life. You have this one life, and that is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Make the best use of it and excel in it. This is your life. This is one life. And no matter how much pain it takes, be forced to be free.